It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO Holding Brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care, an APCO Holdings company. Today, I'm being joined by Tully Williams. Tully, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Well, thank you so much. It is such an honor to be with you today. Thank you so much for this great invite.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about this episode. We're going to really dive into old leadership versus new leadership. And I know you're really good when it comes to these topics. But before we get into this episode, can you tell our audience what got you into the car business? Where are you right now? And a cool thing that no one knows about you.
Well, you know, it's great. As I started in high school, as just needed a job. And I worked, I was in State Line, Nevada, which is in Lake Tahoe. And I started working for an independent Kingsbury Automotive, actually. Started as a guy just changing oil and doing small tasks and got into the business. But really what kicked me off is I got into the 8-step program, which was the General Motors program. And I worked for a Pontiac GMC DeLorean dealer. Can you believe it? DeLorean.
DeLorean, yes.
Thank God they're on their way out, right? And, you know, that's kind of where I got my, you know, teeth into the technician world and stayed with that. Then moved on. I was there for 6 years and opened my own business for 14. The auto clinic was in that great independent space, which I felt has made me who I am today. I think that, as you'll hear me say probably more 400 million times, is that it's all about the hours, but it's all about repeat and referral business. When you're in the independent world, repeat and referral business is what it's all about. Sold that business, and I would have been there for my entire career, but someone offered me too much money for the building, and you know how it is. And got into the dealership world, and I've worked for 3 dealerships in my life. I worked for, you know, my biggest opportunity was with John Anderson at Courtesy Chevrolet, and worked there, and I would have probably still would be with John unless he sold it off. Was a huge Chevrolet dealership in San Jose, California, and then went to work for the Del Grand Group, and I worked there for 10 or 15 years, 10 years plus, I don't remember it is, but now I'm very fortunate to move up to Sacramento, California, the capital of California. I worked for the Neil Company, has been in business for 102 years.
Wow.
So I feel very honored to be being blessed to run our 10 stores and soon to be 11th store coming on board. We have a Porsche store that we are building as we speak. So very fortunate to be working for the Neil Company.
That is quite a career, sir, already. So it's an honor to have you and your knowledge on this podcast. Again, old leadership versus new leadership. Let's just jump right into it. When I say old leadership style, what comes to mind first?
Old 20 group mentality. I can't stand old ways of looking at the fixed ops department. And I think that when you look at old ways, hours per O, dollars per O, slamming customers to death, right? Selling things that we would not sell our family members. To me, that's the old way. And it's amazing how it's still out there. 20 groups promote that just because that's a measurement tool they have. I think they're seeing it wrong. But the old mentality is not about driving repeat referral business. And what did we do great in the 70s and 80s and 90s? Drove customers away after the warranty was up. Yeah. And I think today, we were all about keeping those customers for life, because I think manufacturers also believe in that if the customer stays in the service department, they'll probably buy the next car from us. And I think we finally have gotten some support. Now he's got to get everybody to realize that ripping people's heads off is not the way to do business and fixed.
No, and I think you're absolutely right. So I love the fact that you really hit on the old way of them doing it, right? We've always done it this way. And what really stands out to my mind is that Harvard Business School survey that something as small as 5% in retention can lead to 25 to 95% profit in your department, right?
Huge, isn't it? I mean, I think that also when you make people happy, what do? They tell their friends and family to come to that store. And I think that, you know, I've been trying to tell everybody at the Neil Company and, you know, my service and parts managers that we're in the repeat referral business. A car dealer sells 4 things. That's it. 4 things. We sell cars, we sell F&I products, we sell parts, and we sell labor, the technician's time. That's what we sell. But we're really in that repeat referral business. And if you have that mentality, you're not going to sell a bunch of unnecessary things to a customer at 20,000 miles or ever.
Right.
And I like to say, if you would sell it to your family member, then we can sell it to our customer. If we can't sell it to a family member, we can't sell it to our customer.
100%. And I love that. And, you know, you were absolutely right when you said, you know, we've figured out that keeping that customer long term, keeping them forever, right? They'll come back and buy another car from us. Absolutely. Because people buy from people they know, love, and trust, right? So when you have that, now you're selling more than just car, you're selling an experience, right? I love being here, right? It's no longer, I'd rather go get a root canal than come to the dealership. I love being here. Everyone treats me with respect, right? I love that. So how do you take out that old mentality of thinking with your managers, with your advisors and technicians, and really teach them this new way of referral and repeat business?
Great question. So it doesn't always come easy. As you know, change is hard for humans. And I love change. I love change. I'm probably too crazy about it. But I think that you have to prove to everyone, I'm talking porters, detailers, parts counter people, delivery people, technicians, service advisors, and person service managers, that the old way is not the way. And it's actually easier to do business if you think about it differently and think about driving more customers in your service drive, which actually pay your bills so you can make more money for you and your family. And I think that the first step was to get everybody on the hours gig. That was a challenge. Tully, you don't understand. That's what I hear. Tully, you don't understand. We can't be 100%. We can't be 100%. Tully, you can't be 110%. Tully, we can't be 120. Now I'm hearing Tully, we can't be 130 or 140%. God bless America right there. Isn't that awesome? You know what? What am I doing? All my technicians go home rich and tired every day. Rich and tired. That's what I want to do. You have to get that focus on that. And honesty, integrity. I feel that the Needle Company, we've been in business for 102 years. That was easy for me to do here because it was already really in place. We weren't selling unnecessary things. You know, I'll say it just like that. And we were selling technician recommendations that we'd sell our family members. And then we just have to talk about that more and more. It's the driving what is right. And that is hard in the automotive business, right? When you come in the driveway, you're just trying to sell me something I don't need, or you're just trying to rip me off. That is not the case. Do technicians make mistakes? Humans make mistakes.
Yes.
You just have to agree that if we make a mistake, what are we going to do? We're going to fix it. Right? And there's no questions asked. So you have to have that mentality. When I started here at the Needle Company, doing the right thing was already inbred in their culture. It was in our core values. Getting them on the hours forecast was probably not hard, but it was somewhat of a challenge. But after they saw the light and they realized that, yes, this works better, it's great. Because here's the deal. Do we want to sell a motor or a light bulb? I don't care. I just don't care. I just want to sell the capacity of hours that we have that day that makes those customers happy. And when we look at old things like hours per row and gross profits, if we're in the repeat and referral business, what do we do to all those old metrics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s? We drive them all down, right? Because if we sell maintenance, our gross profits drop. Our hours per row, which is the nastiest word I ever say. It's never in anything that you see here at all. I don't care about the money. I care about selling the capacity and making people happy. That's what I care about. And I think when they finally see that light, with great technician videos and doing inspections on 100% of the cars, they see the light and, oh my God, it's easier to sell or advise a customer that they need blank because I have a picture, I have a video, and I have everything says that they need that. Isn't that that's just a good thing right there, right?
I love that.
And you don't see, and OEMs are having a hard time with that because, I'll use this great example. It happened 3 months ago. I'm not going to say the OEM, but we got in trouble by submitting our financial statement to them. And they came back and said, your effective labor rate is too low in customer pay. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? I mean, I've never heard of an OEM saying that. And I said, okay. So the GM's like, tell you know what's going on here. So give me about 2 minutes. Let me figure it out. I look at it and I said, they should have given us an award. Why? Because our maintenance hours were 78%. Of all of the hours we sold in customer pay were maintenance. And what does that do? That drives all of the metrics that they look at. And only 23% were at full list price for repair. I said, so where's the trophy? You know, because what we're trying to do is drive that great repeat and referral business. And we did a great job that month. And I think we have to see it a different way. And I think that people out there are seeing that, just not everybody yet.
Yeah. And when you talk about it, and I've heard you talk about this many times, because I've followed you for a long time. Obviously, it goes without saying, I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thank you.
It almost reminds me of Moneyball, right? How they thought the guy from the Oakland A's was crazy. This is not going to win. You're the Moneyball guy, right?
Oh, never heard that before. That's funny.
It's exactly what I think of. When someone talks about Telly, when I hear you talk about this, I go to the movie, right? And thinking, wow, this is just like Billy Bean, right? Billy Bean was going off the rails and people were just, you know, having these radio talk shows, putting him down, saying he's going to get run out of baseball. His daughter was worried he was going to get fired, right? I love this. So looking at it at a different way is really impactful. And I think it's definitely working. It is going to work. And you've proven it. You have inventory. If we talk to our advisors and say, you're in the time selling business, period. You have X amount of technicians that they work X amount of hours, and we want 120% productivity. These are the hours you have all day, right? It's 100 hours every day. You've got to sell the 100 hours, right?
Correct. And I'll make it easier than that. Think of every technician as 10 hours a day. It's just easy math to do.
Yep.
Right? And you figure out if they work a day, it's 10 hours a day. So this comes back to where ratios come into play. So NADA used to say, I'm not sure what they say today, is 5 technicians per service advisor. I say, holy mackerel, that's insanity. How can I sell 50 hours a day every day? It's not going to happen. And that's the reason I look at 2 to 3. 3 is 30 hours a day, every day. Why do you use 10 hours? Technicians don't want to work for 8, do they? Right? So when you think about having that capacity, you've got to make sure you're set up right. Setting up your advisors for success, and it's based off of your technician count. Same with your back counter. Your back counter has to be set up. 5 to 1 is what I use as a guide. You know, some manufacturers are easier than others, yes. But 5 to 1 is your guide, because what happens when you have a bad back counter? Well, the shop is just destroyed, right? So we got to make sure that the back counter people are on board. And we actually, all of our bonuses that we pay out to anybody that has a bonus is based off the hours forecast. So our parts counter people are not paid off of parts gross, because we really can't control that. They're paid off the hours forecast because they have such an influence on that. And so when the shop wins, they win. And they, you know what? It's the fixed ops team, not the service and parts team.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So how have you evolved into this new leadership style? Because you, I don't want to date you or anything, but you grew up in the 70s, 80s, right? So how did you grab a hold of this new leadership style?
Great question. So, you know, I was knee deep in it in the 90s and 2000s. Hours per hour, gross, hours per hour, gross. And then when I went to work for the Dell Grand Dealer Group, I met this guy named Randy Brinkman. Randy Brinkman broke me, because he broke it down to one day about the hours. And, you know, I was actually paying attention and listening with my open mind versus my closed mind. I'm perfect mind, right?
Right.
And I looked at him like, holy mackerel, you're right, bro. You know, I was just, I made an ass of myself, of course. But the point of it is that I saw it a different way, and he presented it a different way. So I'll give Randy Brinkman 100,000,000% of converting me over from gross to hours. And from that point on, I've taken running with it and just perfected it. And it's easy. And that's how it started. And that was probably in 2010-ish. You know, maybe in there, somewhere in there.
Right.
Maybe, you know, when I really realized it. So, you know, I've been on this kick probably for almost 20 years, 15 years, 20 years on the, I'm on the mode of making sure that I'm in the hours mode. And I keep on preaching that, you know. And today it was funny. We talk about that, is that someone's trying to sell us a dashboard thing. And what do they have on the dashboard? Hours per row, dollars per row.
Yeah, of course.
I said, sales is a made up number. Dude, you got all the wrong stuff. And I'm not here to preach to you how to run your company. But, you know, if you want to look at the forward thinking dealerships today, we're thinking of things differently. And, it's just a way to get out there and tell everybody, hey, there's a different way to look at it, which is the right way.
Yeah, I really like that. Okay. So what tips can you give us to evolve if I'm a service manager right now or a fixed ops director, you know, in your position to evolve to this new way of thinking? Where can I find the formula or how can I make it work for me?
Love that. Here we go. Email me. I'll give you a form to fill out. It'll tell you what your hours capacity is. Stupid easy. So Corey, make sure you give my email address. I'll give it to you. Here's the deal. You need to know your hours capacity every month. 10 hours a day is easy math, but I have this little thing. I count the W's. Now I know my capacity of hours. So let's say I have two techs. They work 20 days. So that means they work, you know, they each have 10 hours a day. I have blank hours. Your service advisors, I need to know what their work schedule is. I count up how many days they work in the month, and I divide it by the number of hours. What does that give me? Hours per day a service writer needs to sell, and that's it. And it's a percent of that number. So, you know, if you look behind me, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. I believe in being 100% transparent. So every day, everybody knows where they are on what happened yesterday and where they're tracking and what they are month to date on their hours forecast and the measurements that we look at. Every day, technicians know what they're at. Every day, the parts people know where they're at on the hours forecast. But knowing the capacity every day, I believe in, at the end of the month, it's too late to fix anything. I think on day two, we should be fixing things from day one and keeping people on pace. And that is the biggest easy. I'll send you the form. You fill it out. Stupid simple.
And what's your email address, just so we have it?
Fantastic. TWilliams@NIELLO.com. But it's a simple form to fill out, and then that gives you, it tracks it down so you can build up your advisor hours per day so everybody knows their forecast. Now, the technicians, I believe in, for paying for inspections and videos. People think I'm crazy, but here's the deal. These are hardworking people. I don't think we ask anybody else in our company to work for free. And we ask our technicians to work for free every time they do an inspection. So what happens when you ask someone to do something for free? The quality is probably at second best. Yeah. I pay one half an hour for a quality inspection and a quality video for every car we do. We are 98% videos inspections. 98. Why not 2%? Because there's always some weirdo ROs that come through the count. Now we can hold them accountable to those great videos. But here's the thing, is that when a technician realizes he gets paid, then all of the rushness and you're taking advantage of me kind of goes away. And I explained to them that if we do great videos and great inspections, that we'd sell things that we'd sell our family members, then the best car to work on is the car on the rack. And now we work on selling the hours from recommendations. And for a technician, that is everything to be successful. And we want that number to be in a 30 to 40% rail. Some are higher and some are lower. But that's what our target is. So now our technicians are looking, how many hours have I sold off of recommendations? And those are the ones that they make the most efficiency on. And actually better for the customer because they get the car in and out.
I love that. So when you talk to me about your technicians doing these quality videos, I just envision a camera crew and the technician with a microphone with the logo of the dealership on it, you know, and saying, back to you, Bob and Barb.
I wish that could happen. That'd be so cool.
That's great. I love the fact that you pay them, because you're absolutely right. If you slam it down their throat saying you need to do this because I said so, that's the old way of thinking, right? Do it because I said so. I'm going to invest in you to do it the right way because it's worth that. So when you say it like that, the technician's like, well, I better do a darn good job. And then they see the investment of the quality coming back to them and they're making more money because off those recommendations. That's impactful. That's powerful. And I don't want to go anywhere else as an employee.
Correct. I think that, you know, when they see that, so it's our job as service managers at all stores to make sure that you talk to your technicians about these great KPIs that we look at. And KPIs are this, the percent of inspections and videos have to be 100%. Most stores are 100%, right? Then the next thing is the quality of inspection. So we look at recommendations per inspection on a mileage band. So here's the worst thing you can ever have. 5 inspections on 10,000 miles. That's the worst thing you could ever do. Or you could have 1 inspection, 1 recommendation on 150,000 miles is the other extreme. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we're holding our great technicians accountable to make sure they do quality inspections as they would do for their family members, is to make sure that we're doing those. So part of our monthly evaluation sheet was we want to talk to our technicians on a monthly basis. 3 months is the maximum time, is recommendations per with mileage band, the percent of hours that are from recommendations, right? To me, those are the key issues. And of course, you know, the hours they sold that month, right? And the percentage to make them feel good. But I think that if we show technicians that doing great pictures and great videos sell hours, we're all in.
I love that.
That was easy, but
that's so good. So over the years, and we'll flip the script a little bit and talk about the actual employees that you have, we've gone from the younger generation. They have different wants. They have different needs. How has that impacted the auto industry in your mind?
So I think we have to look at work schedules. The young people don't want to work as hard. I mean, I don't want to, please don't take it. This is a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, my daughters don't want to work as hard as I did when I was a kid. Right. And that's just part of the environment we're in. So one is that we have to be respectful. So we don't expect everybody to work 12-hour days, you know, right. These guys are happy working, or gals, I'll be happy working 6 hours a day as we let them. Now, I think that one is that we have to have great facilities. Working in a pit doesn't work anymore. Is your facilities positive? That to me is the most important thing. Next is going to be is that we have great work schedules, and then we have a pathway to succession. That to me is a huge deal with technicians. I think with any position, honestly, but technicians especially, is that when we bring in youngins, and a lot of them come from porters, or they're in trade schools or junior colleges that come up, what is my plan? I don't want to be stuck on the lube rack for my lifetime. Worst thing you could ever do. And a lot of schools tell you they don't like working at dealerships because they're afraid of getting stuck on the lube rack. But if I present you in writing a plan that starts from working as a helper, which means you're just paid an hourly wage, but you're working in the shop, working with technicians, graduate to an hourly technician. Now hours count. By the way, the hours forecast for my hourlies are half, because there's no way they can produce it. So this is all fair for the for everybody else, right? They are producing hours, and if they achieve certain thresholds throughout the week, for instance, if my hourly technician now is working and he produces 6 hours a day, I will give him $1 raise. 7, he gets 2, and if he produces 8 hours a day, he gets 5 extra hours, dollars per hour. The reason I do this is to get them in the mindset of how flat rate works and how you can work. Now, this is the time for showing them the pathway, because we want everybody to be successful. I don't want anybody to get in there. It's like, I want to go flat rate. And then they fail.
Right.
Fail is not an option in my book. Right. So what we want to do is that when we look at these youngs coming up, is that we want to show them the path, show them how much money they're making today, but ultimately show them how much they can get to $55 an hour by doing all these things. And $55 an hour doesn't happen yesterday. It doesn't happen in a month. It happens like in years, 5, 10, 20 years, because you have to have all this great stuff. But it's in writing. And I think the young people want to see a pathway. So we have a pathway for our service technicians. We have a pathway for our parts department, how they start usually as a driver. They go to a shipping receiving, they go to a parts counter, they become assistant managers, which I believe in heavily, and then go to a manager. And same on the service driveway. A lot of them usually start as good receptionists because they make the best service riders, and they have a pathway to become a service manager. So having a pathway for young people to show us how they can be successful today, to me, is the big win.
I love that. Okay. So here's the last question is best piece of advice someone gave you?
Be on hours. It's all about the hours. 100%. I mean, I know we talk about it a whole time, but I tell you, if you get your shop on the hours forecast, you might find out that you're doing better than you are, or about you're worse than you are. And I can't encourage people enough today is that look at your store as an inventory of hours. And are you selling that inventory on a daily basis? And of course, reward your employees for doing great jobs. Not always by money. Food works just as well. But you know,
I like pizza.
That's right. Thank yous are great. We have barbecues and flat tops at all of our shops, and they celebrate wins, and they have breakfast feasts and stuff like that, which I am never invited to, by the way, which bothers me. But they have pancake feasts and everything else, which I think is the best thing ever to bring everybody together.
All right. I love that. So I have a feeling we're going to talk about hours with your three takeaways, but give me your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that someone in fixed ops, whether it's someone in your position, a service manager, a service advisor, parts department, an agent, someone in the leadership at the dealership can take away from this episode?
Great question. First, know your hours capacity for your month. Make that a real number. Two, do you have a plan for all of your positions? Put that in writing. Show them the way, right? To me, that's the next thing. Pay plans all on the same way. Pay plans are off the hours forecast. If you're a service manager, parts manager, which should be paid the same on the same gross, service advisors, porters, anything that is paid, anybody that's paid a commission of any kind needs to be based off the hours forecast, which means the entire fixed ops team is working for the same goal.
Imagine that, going in the same direction as opposed to paddling in different ways.
Who pays for the shipping? Come on, care about shipping.
Tully, that's great. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. You want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Tully, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. I'd love to, my friend.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Pasha, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.